two. I'm trying not to. Kind of cool in here, huh? A little nippy. Philippians chapter 2. And God is so cool. He'll start showing you stuff. You know, all these things. All these things line up. He wrote this Bible very strategically. And I don't understand how people can't have messages or they don't get messages because it's all working together. So God told me a few things to share with y'all. I'm going to be very quick with this. And then we'll be on our way. Condition. Everybody say condition. Condition. Come on, say it again. Condition. Condition. Come on, say it again. Condition. Condition. Remember, if you are conditioned, you have control over the conditions. When you are conditioned, nothing is conditional to you anymore. So that means the promise of God is yours just as sure as your name is yours when you become conditioned. The Holy Spirit showed me something the other day about prophecy, and it's a crazy thing that happened to me. I do a lot of reading, and I pick up these books, and I've been reading about Jesus a lot, and I do a lot of reading. And so I just started texting after, and I said, I started texting a group of young people that I had a text group with, and I said, prophecy, I said, is it conditional or unconditional? And I come to the fact that prophecy is conditional. Like just because somebody prophesied something to you, somebody could prophesy to you that you're going to get $1 million this Friday, but if you shoot yourself before Friday, or they can tell you, you can get a prophesied, you know, you're going to receive $1 million this Friday. All you got to do is be on the corner of 51st and 33rd. But if you don't go, you don't receive. So prophecy, and I had this tape this guy I met, not to go into the story, me and this guy talked to the guy, he ended up meeting Jesus years ago, and we just had a good conversation. We just talked about a lot of things about the word, and I'm sleeping one night, and I got a recording, me and the guy talks, and so I have a playlist. You should get you a playlist. I have a playlist on my phone. We got a lot of playlists on our phones and different things, all the music that we like, but I got a playlist of preaching. So I got all the last messages that Apostle preached probably in the last 2 months. I got them all lined up, and so what I do is, when I get in that bed, you know, I used to go in there and watch Law and Order till I go to sleep. And so I'm dreaming about legalities and rules and people shooting people and robbing people. And wake up feeling like I got something stolen from me. I wake up feeling like somebody looking for me, right? Because it's going in my mind. I let it in my mind, so that's what I had. That's the condition that I had. But now I go to sleep listening to the word. All right? So I listened to Saturday message. We had the healing, miracle, and deliverance meeting, and I was listening Saturday. And so I was on shuffle. And so I just finished talking to a group of people about prophecy being conditional. And I didn't even realize this. And I woke, and my playlist is gone. And it jumps from that service, or however long I'm sleeping, it jumps from that service to the next thing. Where it ends up jumping on this meeting with this guy. And I woke up in the middle of the night, oh, like that. And the guy says, prophecy is conditional, ain't it? And so I laughed. He said, ha, ha, ha. And I went straight back to sleep. And I suppose you got to catch it sometimes. See, sometimes you got to be, some stuff taught, some stuff you catch. You got to catch it. The Holy Spirit's trying to show me something. He's trying to tell me that no matter what's been prophesied over my life or what has been set in front of me, God knew you before you was formed in the belly, before you was made in the womb, God knew you. But no matter what he had planned for you, you have to be conditioned for the plan. Yeah. It was almost like the prophecy, the prophesy, the receiver, right? Yes, sir. Got to be conditioned to the level of the prophesier. Because if he throwing it up here and you ain't tall enough to catch it, or you don't have the legs that are strong enough to jump, then you'll miss your delivery. Because you're not conditioned to get up there. That make sense to you? But I say conditioning. Condition. Come on, say it again, conditioning. Condition. I look at the word conditioning, and I wanna say it just like I read it, because I don't wanna it said this, let me find it. It said and it got a bunch of different definitions, but it says to bring something into a desired state for use. You heard it? To bring something into a desired state for use. So it means when you condition something, you bring it into a desired state for use. So now when you become conditioned, you are bringing yourself into a desired state to be used. God, use me. God, why you don't use me more? God, why you don't speak to me more and use me more? Well, maybe he's not speaking to you more and using you more because we're not conditioned enough. I mean, if you bench press 345 pounds, well, why should I drop 500 on you? Why should I give you more to lift if you've only been conditioned to a certain weight? Now, the condition depends on you. See, God will use you to the level that what measure you meet is measured to you. What you sow, you reap. Right. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Right. That's a principle across the board. But yeah, it goes into your effort and your conditioning also. You condition a lot, I use you a lot. You open up more, I pour more into you. But see, God is not going to drown. You know, like even right now, water is good for us. But you know, if you pour enough water, it'll drown you. Not even in the water. I'm not talking about you jumped in the water and you can't swim. No. Like I can lay you on the ground right now and keep pouring water down and I will drown you. If you're not, you don't have the capability, you don't have the openness to be able to receive it. Open. Everybody say open.
Open.
Everybody say open. Open. Two things the Lord told me about being conditioned. He said when the Lord is trying to speak to revelation, we're talking about conditioning, we'll talk about conditioning more. And he gave me these two things and he gave me another thing and it was all in the same scripture. I didn't even know it was in the same four or five scriptures. But he said, be open. Now, the first thing about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, when they're doing that, you see somebody drown or see somebody, they're about to drown, or they pull them out the water and they're trying to revive them, they push on their chest, but then they do the thing where they grab their mouth and they breathe into them. You remember breathe into last week? Remember, inspiration means to breathe into, right? Well, see, it's hard to do when your mouth closed. It's hard to get resuscitated. I don't even know if that's a word. But it's hard to get brought to life when you got your mouth closed. You know, they say closed mouths don't get. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. But closed mouths don't get fed. So it's real hard to breathe into you when you're closed off. When you're closed-minded, I heard my mother, and I just overheard my mother and my father talking this evening. They're talking about when you I forget those statements here, but when you have a mindset, that means you're set in a certain way, and you're not open to change. Now that could be a positive thing, is your mindset on those right things, right? It could be a good thing, right? But a lot of times, in our instance, and when it comes down to us, we got a lot of mind. Sets need to be broken. Can I get an amen? Is that true? There's a lot of mindsets that need to be broken down. You're setting your ways. We need to open up. Everybody say open up. Everybody do your open up. Come on, everybody do your hands. Open up. Come on. And I do that for a reason, because sometimes when you move your hands, you do different things. It burns something in your brain. Come on, do it. Come on. I'm like you're opening. I'm opening up. Like, I know it's funny. I know. Like, this is a little crazy. No, open up. Like, open. Be open. He told me that. He said, be open. Then he gave me Philippians 2 and 5. He said, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. He didn't say he's going to force the mind. He didn't say he's going to enforce the mind. He didn't say he's going to push it in you. He said, let. Everybody say, let.
Yeah.
Come on, let, yield, allow, all those words, open. Let this mind. That means open up. Open up and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It means the mind, and I said it before and I'll say it again, the mind is trying to get inside of you. The mind is trying to be in you. The only reason it's not in you, the only reason that you can't think like Christ, is not because Christ doesn't want you. It's not because he doesn't want to think into you, or not because you're not good enough, because we already not good enough. I mean, we already know it's a gift of God. It's not of ourselves, right? We already know that none of us are intelligent enough to be intelligent enough to deserve God using us. We do know that, right? So it's not about none of that. So could it be so that Jesus is trying to think for me every day? Could it be a true statement that Jesus is trying to think my thoughts for me? Matter of fact, he wants to be my thoughts. Matter of fact, he don't want me to make decisions. He want to make them for me. It is God was working in you. We're going to talk about that in a minute too. But could that be true? Could that be true? Answer me, come on, could that be true? Well, if that is a true thing, then what's going on? Why is it that we still making decisions? And we still doing things the way it would seem right to a man, but then of his death, no fruit, no life, no abundance. Why is it that happens? Because we're not letting. Everybody say, let.
Yeah.
Come on, say, open up. Come on, do your hand. Come on, open.
Open up.
I got to be open up. See, this thing is simple, but we make it difficult. It is the hardest thing to yield when you've been taught to hold on. We've been taught to think for yourself, right? They would have told you, think for yourself, have your own mind. No, have the mind of Christ. You know, I had some friends, and we was trying to, we went on vacation. We were trying to show our friends how to swim. But, you know, she just wouldn't, you know, when you teach a child to swim, or anybody, well, I don't ask how many people know how to swim, who don't know how to swim. But in the case of learning to swim, you've got to yield. Now, if you're not willing to yield, you're not willing to swim, so you're ready to sink. You'll never tread water. You'll never do it. You'll always hit that water and drop. It takes a level of yielding. You got to yield. You got to let them. You got to trust them people. And you got to jump off when they say jump off. Oh, Lord. You ever seen them, the trust exercises? Like we did it just now, me and Darius. And sure, you ever seen them trust exercises where you're standing from somebody, and you got to fall and let it go, right? I did it in the back just now, and Troy was standing right here, and Darius was standing behind him. But Troy didn't know how far Darius was behind him. But I said, Troy, fall back. And Troy, but he did good. Troy just went on back. I said, Darius, catch him. I gave the instruction for him to fall before I told Darius to catch him. Got to be some trust, boy. And he didn't know how far Darius was behind him. But he knew me. Uh-oh. He knew me. So he knew that I would not have told him anything that was going to put him in the danger. Huh? But it's only because that I may know him. Well, do you know him? I'm to conclude that you don't know him if you don't want to yield. I'm to conclude that you don't know him as well as you say you do if you don't want to just give it up. You know, Jesus had to give it up. You know, we got this story of Jesus, and we think that and Jesus walked to the cross, and even though, you know, we know he got beaten, he got whooped, but we think, you know, we overlook the fact that Jesus said, Lord, if you can't let this cup pass. Yeah. We don't read the Bible. We don't write the divide the word. We don't understand the humanity of Jesus. We don't understand. Because all those things, even the nevertheless. You say, well, how could he do that? He was the perfect, flawless Lamb of God. How could he do that? No, he's just showing you how you are sometimes. We don't look at that part. We don't read that part. We read over. Nevertheless, not the will, but thy will be done. But you gotta realize there was some vulnerability in that first statement. He was like, hey, listen, if you can we do this another way? I don't really know how I feel about this right now. I don't really know. You know, is it a possibility that Jesus, because he had never died before. You ain't never died neither. How you feel about that? You ever think about it long enough and make you nervous? I know we talked that noise, but I'm going to go to see my king. And the glory to the Lord. But we steady putting them seatbelts on. And we try to do all that because you think about it. You know, because you don't even know what that's like. You don't even know what's going on. I know, yeah, I'm going to be with my father and be with my savior. I got faith that I'm going to have some. But I don't know. We told you got to die next week. You sweat a little bit. You be a little nervous. You know. I'm sure Jesus went through that. So he had a little nervous because he wouldn't have said that if he wasn't a little nervous. It's okay to see the vulnerability of Jesus. It's okay because he was showing us how we are. He was showing us because the powerful thing is that he was able to say nevertheless. Facing death. But he trusted him. So I'll let him kill me. You don't take my life. I lay it down. He said you couldn't take it if you wanted it. But he laid it down. See, there's a power in laying it down. There's a power in the let. There's a power in the yielding. You want to be faith and work your faith and push your faith. No. Yield a little bit. Yield a little bit. Yield. Sometimes we're so busy. Can I teach you something about the word of God? Can I teach you something about revelation? And I might have said this before, but you cannot think upon revelation. You can't work upon revelation. You can't go take revelation. You can't. No. You can't. If you could, then we wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. revealing is uncovering. If you could uncover it on your own, then what you need the Holy Ghost for? Well, if you could uncover it on your own, wouldn't it be uncovered already? But it's still in the dark, ain't it? It's still a mystery to you. So that's a yielding to the power of the Holy Ghost. That's a giving up, just giving up. The Lord took me to Luke 6:38. What did Luke 6:38 say? Huh? All right, y'all know I'm gonna say this every week. Now you got to know the scripture, because the Holy Spirit, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, right? Remember that? Inspiration of God. So the scripture was given, inspired by God. So remember, now the Holy Spirit is gonna speak to you based on his word, based on God, all right? But if you don't know the word, is it possible that if the revelation is based on the word, but you don't know the word, is it possible that you miss revelation? Is it a possibility? Is it a possibility that if you don't know what the scripture is saying, there's a possibility that the Holy Spirit wants to show you something, but I can't show you the whole thing because you don't know the whole thing. Right? Remember the form? And then he breathed life into him? What if the form would have been with no arm? It would have been a handicap. Couldn't be everything you wanted it to be. We're going to have to learn how to study this word and yield. How to study this word and yield to it. Work it. No, yield to it. I understand work the word. I understand work yourself. And I get it. Like I'm not being like that, but yield to it. But it's tough. It's tough to give up. Sometimes it's tough to realize that you just don't know what's going on. I will say amen right here and here. And when that problem come up, the first thing you're going to go to is your mind. First thing you're going to go to is your own understanding. That's the first thing you go to. The first thing when some pain hits you, the first thing you go to, oh, Lord, I need to go to the doctor. What about his stripes? Mm-hmm. Well, once again, it's conditioning. Everybody say conditioning. Conditioning. Come on, everybody say conditioning. Come on, say it again, conditioning. If you've not been conditioned, then you won't be able to run the race, nor will you be able to keep up, nor will you be able to receive the air. If you're out of condition, if you're out of shape, and you're not conditioned, then even if the air is trying to get in, listen, if you go running and you're out of shape right now, there's air everywhere. No, ain't no shortage of air. You're short of breath because of your conditioning. Hold on. Over here in the corner? Oh, yeah, they got air over there. Outside. Thank you. Yeah, it's still out there. It's going to be in your car. It's going to be wherever you at. There's air everywhere. But you become short of breath because you short of breath. It ain't no shortage of breath. Your money's short because you short. Ain't no shortage of money. Oh, ain't no shortage of resources nowhere. If you coming up short, it's because you ain't conditioned to breathe in more. I'm like this, man. I do need, but in a lot of instances, I don't need a dove to come out of the sky and land on my shoulder and shine a light over me in a dark room. Sometimes I could just look at what I got and be like, this ain't it. I look over at that Bible and I look at what I got. I look over that Bible again, I look at what I got. Well, something's wrong here. If this don't match that, then it means me don't match him. So something got to change. Something's got to give. You know, you ready to say me something got to give?
Yeah.
You ready to say me something got to give?
Yeah.
Oh, it took me Luke 6:38 and he said, give. That's what I was going to a little while ago. He said, give. And what happened? Yeah. You're a good measure. But now he never really said what's going to be given to you. We use it for giving and receiving. It works for that. There's a principle called the board. But he never really said the exact thing. He just said give and it'll be given to you. It shall, whatever it is, it shall be given to you. Good measure, press down, shall get run over. Some men give it to you. But the Lord told me, I'm sitting out there, right before claiming, the Lord said, give. Won't you give? And I know, give. But he was like, won't you give? Remember you used to play Mercy? Remember you used to play Mercy when we were younger? And he'd be like, and then you do it, and whoever go on there, I'll say, Mercy, I give. I'll just tap out. I give up. I used to fight my brother, say, I give up. He said, give. And it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking to get it running over. But you got to give. Would you please give up? I told her, Lord, I give up. Lord, I give up. Just give. It's just that simple. No, we got to do the 25 loss. No. Just give up. But it's so hard to do. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to help us. To start busting up this crazy stuff we got in our mind. And to start breaking down this foolishness we got in our head. And breaking down all that stuff that we got built in. That's why the conditioning. My son, thou art cleansed through the word. Yes. Let me tell you. He's not just talking about sin. Listen, sin's the easy part. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. So that means I am free. I'm not getting free. I'm already free. I'm already a ruler of the law of sin and death. So he's really not talking. Everything we do, we talk about. Listen, he's really trying to say that your mindset going to be clean. So that I can clean all that other stuff out. And you might not be thinking the old dirty, nasty thoughts, but the more raggedy, poor thoughts, dirty, nasty too. Huh? They just as nasty as the other thoughts. Them old poor mouth, I don't want to help nobody thoughts, the old selfish, the attitude thoughts, all them thoughts that ain't thinking like him, them old dirt, that's the ones that need to be cleaned out. So my son, I was clean through the word. You know, if you're pumping up water going through, you're just pumping the water. When you're just pumping the water, when the last time you seen algae sitting on top of a river? Not never, because it's just running. You keep pumping enough water, and eventually, you know, right now, and we probably as individuals physically don't drink enough water. I'm guilty, amen. Come on, praise the Lord with me, because you're guilty too. All right, but if you drink enough water, you know your body start cleaning out. Like you put on a cold drink of water this time? Like you put on a can, it's a 20-ounce can, drink your 20 ounces of water. Ah. You get your little water with your meal. Think about it. Get you a little water. Health class. Get you a little water. He tap on his shoulder. He look at it like, get you a little water. And maybe it'll clean you out. Get you a little water. Get you out of that belly to flow rivers of. You drink from this well, you'll never be thirsty again. Yeah. Get you some water. Get you some water. Put them cold drinks down. And all that juice. Right? Lord. Juice. Put some of that juice down, get some water. Ain't I mean you can't have the juice, but put some of that juice down, get you some water. Your body ain't made up of, you know, the muscle of your body made up of, ain't said juice. Well, your body made up of water. Serious thought about that water. See, a little water, condition. Mentally, have you been drinking the juice? They talk about that, about the Jim Jones. Remember Jim Jones way back? Some people are too young to understand. Remember Jim Jones? You know, took them people out there and made them drink the juice. Yeah. All of them died. Remember that? Drink the juice. Don't be drinking the juice. They tell you to drink the juice. The conspiracy theory. They tell you drinking the juice. Maybe how you know you're really thinking like that? Maybe they didn't put that in your mind. You didn't drunk the juice. You drinking water or juice? In your everyday with your entertainment and the things that you're watching. Not conditioning. And this is pretty difficult. This is hard. This is hard for some people because you got the things that you like, things you've been doing for so long, and all that stuff. But the things you've been doing for so long, and what you got for so long, and you're so mad with what you got. You're so upset about the status that you have right now. Well, maybe it's because of that thing. Get you some water. Put the cold drink down. Stop burning your insides with all that acid. Let me get you some water. All that sugar, get you some water. All that sugar, get you some water. you had to judge your intake mentally. How much water are you drinking? Mentally. How much water are you drinking? How much of it is the juice? Do you ride around with a jug in the car with you? You do a detox. You do a detox. We used to do the water detox. You got a jug. You got to drink so much water a day, boy. And the water just used to go through you, boy. You be in that bathroom. But, hey, you're getting cleaned out. But you keep a jug with you because you got a quota. You don't really work if you don't drink that much a day. What you use to clean yourself? What you use to clean yourself? I can let it clean your skin. You need water, huh? And you don't need no juice for that. Juice ain't going to get that done. Y'all think about it right now, how sticky you going to be. All your hand, y'all sticky. You try to take a shower and some juice. You clean with the water. Get some water in your life. Conditioning. Everybody say conditioning. Conditioning. Come on, say it again. Conditioning. Conditioning. Come on, say it again. Conditioning. Conditioning. See, your conditioning determines whether the conditions have control over you. You can have everything that Word of God says if you condition for it. Everything. If you condition. You have to go running after it. You have to go look for nothing. Condition. So you can't keep up and you can't catch your breath if you don't condition. If you're not conditioned on a regular basis, come on, you know, you're an athlete, come on, you don't run, you don't do it on a regular basis, then eventually you get left behind. I told my staff this, and I was talking to my staff, my family, and I was talking to myself, and we had a meeting the other day, and I said, listen, we don't listen to enough of these tapes. We don't listen to enough of this word. We let this phenomenon that we have placed in our life, in this phenomenon of apostolate, we got this place right in our lap, right in our lives, and we're missing him. I watched some Christian TV today. Can't watch Christian TV too much. I just can't do it. You watch your show, do what you want to do. I can't do it too much because I don't like being critical. And I don't like correcting people on their scriptures when they be saying them wrong and stuff like that. I just don't want to be pointing no fingers, so I just go ahead and let them be. And then whenever we get a chance to talk, we'll talk about it, and we can figure it all out together. But I saw some great men of God's children on TV today. That is it's a sad thing. That is a phenomenon that their fathers were. They missed it all because they didn't condition. I realized that we used to have the meetings, and the meetings used to go on, and the father was there being anointed, doing everything he was, but the children never showed up. I never saw the children at the meeting. I never saw them come to the meeting. I never saw them paying attention. They riding in the chariot. You ever seen the movie Gladiator? Never seen the movie Gladiator? That boy was a punk, boy. That boy, he come ride on. Everybody else fighting, he come ride up in a chariot later on, riding in there with his sister. You need to be out there fighting. How do you expect people to have allegiance to you if you ain't out there on the wall fighting? If you ain't out on the field fighting for your country, how they going to have allegiance to you? If I ain't never seen you fight, how I'm going to fight for you? And so I seen them walk around, and they still wearing the names and different things, but the power is nowhere there because they weren't conditioned. They didn't condition themselves. So the father ran off in the spirit, and they couldn't keep up because they wasn't conditioned. Now, by no means am I saying that I can keep up with apostles because I'm running hard and I'm breathing hard. Please believe me. Oh, but I'm running. And oh, but I'm digging. And oh, I'm hitting my push-ups. I'm doing it all. I'm trying to keep up with what's going on because I'm not getting left behind. People talking about left behind like the movie, like the rapture. No. The rapture happening every day if that's the rapture. If left behind is the rapture, it's happening every other second. Because it wasn't conditioned. So you're conditioned. You can't breathe. Not that the air ain't there, but you can't breathe. Not that the air ain't there, but you can't catch your breath. Catch your breath. You can't catch your breath. Your word, your inspiration, your breathing into, you can't catch your breath because you ain't conditioned. And you can't keep up. So you're behind. Prophecy, condition for prophecy. Why prophesy something and it take 10 years for it to happen? Because it took 10 years for you to condition for it. Oh, yes! Prophecy ain't come through yet. And it, listen, straightway, suddenly, immediately. Now unto him. That's what my God say, right? So any delay is on you. And so he told me to be open. Second thing, he told me to be obedient. Everybody say obedient. Everybody say obedient. Be open and be obedient. Be open and be obedient. Remember, I cannot breathe into you unless you're open for the breath. So let this mind be in Philippians 2:5. Go to it. Let this mind be in you. It says, let this mind be in you also in Christ Jesus. A real simple scripture, but it says so many things. Who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form. Remember that form, right? You remember that form in the beginning? Y'all remember that last week class? We started talking about that form, right? Took upon the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became what? Became what? He became what? Obedient. Obedient unto death. Woo! That ain't tell you go put it on the altar. That ain't saying run around the building. He was obedient. This is obedient unto death. Like, go die. Like, stand up. Stand up, Dougie. Stand up. Stand up. Now go die for these people. He said, I don't know. Let me sit down and talk to him for a little while. See if we can work this out another way. If you can't let this cup pass, right? He said, you can't let the cup pass. No, stand up. Go die. Stand up. Now go die for these people. Can you imagine that? That's obedient unto death. That means you got an expected income. Like, you know, like, there's no way to bypass it. You got to go die. You know what I sent you here for. You knew when you came in the beginning, I sent you here to go die. You were born to die. You know the old saying, you're born, yeah. You were born for that. Obedient unto death. And then it makes sure you understand what it's saying. Even the death of the cross. Now, and I ain't got time to go into this, but I don't really have time to go into this. But the death of the cross, when you do a little study, there's a book I read by Bill O'Reilly. It's called Killing Jesus. It's a really good book. And actually, I listened to it. I like listening to audio books. And it started breaking down just the history. You know, y'all know Bill O'Reilly. Y'all know Young Fox and all that. Get over that right quick. The book is a really good book, all right? And he's a Christian, by the way, too. So, but I ain't promoting Bill O'Reilly. I'm saying that book, I listened to that book, and it started saying different stuff about the time of the day and how gruesome a crucifixion was. How crucifixion was the most degrading death there was. You know, they used to behead them. They cut your head off. And they used to hang them. Well, yeah. But the crucifixion was the one that I wanted you to suffer. I didn't want it to be quick for you. I didn't want to chop your head off so you can have a quick, speedy death. I wanted you to suffer. So I hit you a little bit so you start bleeding out. And I beat you. Then I let you chill out enough to get your consciousness back so you won't die. It's torture. Everybody say torture. It's torture. Then I'm going to beat you again. And I'm going to whip you. But I'm going to whip you and I'm going to stab you inside. But I'm not going to stab you in your heart because I don't want you to die right then. I want you to bleed out. That's how you die, right? You notice how he died, he bled out, right? Remember that message? We there's another message. Now you're bleeding out. That's how he died. To torture you, put the thorn on your head, beat you, punch you, spit on you, take your clothes off, you're naked. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. Even the death of the cross. He ain't died no accident. It wasn't no accident. He's gone too soon. It wasn't none of that. He knew exactly what was about to happen. I'll do it. I'll do it, Lord. And he's not even asking us to die for nobody no more. He's not even asking us to go to no crucifixion. He's not even asking us for that. I don't need your blood. I don't need your blood. I got the blood of Jesus. You don't need mine. Right? So the little stuff that he's asking us to do, the little ego that won't die, the little feelings that we got and we going to be embarrassed. I ain't running because... I ain't give it because when I'm a somebody told me the other day, a friend told me we were doing a little detox and it was real bad and she was crying and her grandmother walked in and said, baby, it's Rachel, it said, baby, Jesus went through worse. That will change your whole mind about everything you're feeling about everything. Now, you used to tell yourself that sometimes. Jesus went through worse. It'll put a smile on your face. Right away. Like, wait. Jesus went through worse. I'm so lonely. Jesus went through worse. You know, they denied him. Y'all, go read it. The disciples wasn't standing by the cross talking about, let my Savior go. Get your hands on my Savior. No, they wasn't over there. They were denying the one that walked on the water was out there cussing. I don't know him. I'm lonely. Jesus went through worse. There's a power in that now. You let that sink in, there's a power in that. He went through worse so you wouldn't have to go through worse. Obedient to death. And he said, he told me, I'm sitting there, man, God do this. And y'all got to listen to the Holy Ghost. God do this. He started giving me stuff. And you don't know where it's at. You know the script, but sometimes you don't know where it's at. And it was right all down this one line. And he said, work out. No, you work out? You know the words to work out, right? Usually to condition yourself physically, you got to work out. And you got to work out on a regular. And just not every now and then. And you don't see change on the first day. You go work out and then you go look in the mirror and be like, no, you don't see nothing. Ain't nothing no different. All it is sweaty. Verse 9, wherefore God is highly exalted and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things earth and everything's under, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, that's for you too. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That's talking about you too. Remember when I said the name is not just J-E-S-U-S, it's talking about the character. Remember that? The character. Everybody say character. So when the name of something, you're talking about the character. So at the character of Jesus, every knee. So that means if you show up acting like him, being like him, then they got to bow. How many of them? Every single one. A perfect example. And I love doing this. You done had something come up before and you've been like, Jesus! 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 And ain't nothing happened. See, we don't talk about that in church because we think it's sacrilegious. No. Let's be honest. You've done it before. You prayed a prayer in the name of Jesus. Finish it off, stamp it off. You know we stamp it off. And in the name of Jesus, amen. And ain't nothing came through. Why is that? Because you're misinterpreting the name. You just calling out them letters. And you're not yielding to the power behind the name. You're not yielding to the character. So when I pray, I pray like Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Like when I pray a prayer and I pray it in the name of Jesus, I'm praying it like Jesus would have prayed it. Well, how would Jesus have prayed this? We got to get over the little punchline, little tagline. In the name of Jesus, amen. And we say it so fast sometimes we don't even say Jesus' whole name. It'd be like, in the name of Jesus. Y'all know y'all do it. Don't say, I'll be saying the S. I'll be saying the last. No, you don't. Because we just so used to going through the motions. With no motion. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always what? Wherefore, my beloved, have you always what? Obeyed. Yes, everybody say obey. So I'm about obedience again, right? Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. What's the next two words? No, two. Y'all reading all the seven words. I ain't said seven. Two words. What two words? Everybody like, work out your own salvation? No, I don't want all that. What's the two words? You don't mean about all your salvation with patience? No. What's the first two words? Work out. Everybody say work out. Everybody say work out. Come on, say it again. Work out. You got to work out with this word. Come on, Holy Ghost. Thank you so much. You're so cool. The Holy Ghost is so cool. You got to listen. Listen, the Holy Ghost is, he's up there. Like, he ain't got no words for him. He said, listen, just tell me just now. He said, if you work out, you work out. Somebody got to catch him. Yeah. You work out, it'll work out. It'll work out. If you work out, it'll work out. The works that I do. Come on, the Bible talking about work all day long. Work, work. The works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these, right? If you work out, it'll work out. You know, I went to the scripture. We were talking another class because the scripture says all things work together for good. I'm going to give you a good one. We did another class. I'm going to give you a good one. You ready? Y'all ready for it? All things work together. Read the scripture. What's the, how the scripture say it? Don't read it. Let's just say it. For them that are called, call his purpose, right? Read it backwards. For them that are called, call his purpose. For them that love God, right? Then what it say? All things work together. How long? How long they work? How long all things work together? Well, no, I wasn't saying opposite of bad, good. That's what, when we read the other way, we think all things work out for good. Not bad, it work out for good. When I read it backwards, it says all things work out for good. How long is for good? Put my for good. So that means, listen, call to call this purpose, love him. All things always going to work out. Forever. It'll never be a problem where it won't work out. Everybody say, for good. For good. Come on, everybody say, for good. For good. Come on, say it again. Come on, do your hands. Come on. Come on. I told you it's making an imprint in your mind. If I'm doing it, do as I do. Follow me as I follow Christ. Come on. For good. For good. The teachers, they use their hands. Well, you talk with your hands, don't you? Listen to what I'm saying to you. Do it one more time, and I swear. Right? And now you're talking, right? Everybody say, for good. Come on, for good. Yet all things work together for good. Safe, you say, right, right? For good. So let me tell you, I'm gonna say this, then we're, so you're open, you're obedient, and you're working out. You're open, you're obedient, and you're working out. You do the acronym, you know, OOW. Ah, you're working. Oh, be this so crazy. And you're working out, right? Now, if you give all, you get all. You want the Holy Spirit to speak to you more? You want him to talk to you more? You want to give you some more clarity? Give up. Give it up. Condition yourself for his voice. So you're not conditioned to hear him, or you're not conditioned to recognize him. And so because we're not conditioned, we don't understand what's going on. And so all those mics and those maybes and those ifs in the Bible, they for you right now because you're not conditioned. So you the maybe, you a might. That's a bad life to live. You might make it and you might not. What if that was heaven? You might get there. And might always has a maybe and a maybe not. That's not good. That's almost automatically double-minded. That's automatically always unstable. If you tell me, I might let you do it. Hey, everything, I might. You ask me, can I go? I might let you do it. Then you never feel like you stable about anything. He might, he might not let me. Right? But that ain't how God is. He's just saying you might, because we don't know if you're going to condition or not. Can I be honest with you? Don't nothing else matter but this word. If I told you something else, I'd be lying. Don't nothing else matter but this word. I'm not saying you can't listen to your songs. I'm not saying that you can't go to movies. I'm not saying you can't hang out and talk and clown and play sports. I'm not saying none of that. You know, you can do all those things, but if those things ever take the place of the thing, or take precedent before the thing, seek first the kingdom, if they ever take precedent before that, then we in trouble. Now, what we don't understand is if we seek first the kingdom, then everything else after that is going to line up in your appetite. Listen to me. Your appetite. Everybody say appetite. Appetite. Your appetite changes. I'm a music guy. I just like listening to all kinds of music. I just listen to music and you listen to music, and you don't know whether you know it or not. That music get in your head because you're letting that mind be in you. Yeah. Don't think they out here playing with this music and with these movies. Don't think they out here playing. There's a very intentional thing that they're trying to do. They understand faith come by hearing. They understand if you let them in your mind, they got you. So I used to be, and then before I knew it, my appetite changed. And as I hear a song, I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I like that beat and I like the lyrics and everything, but I'm over it. Because I went through the whole thing. Like years ago, I went through the whole thing where I went through the burning all the CDs. I had a pile this high. My brother's still mad with me right now for burning a bunch of classics, right? Pile out your CDs, go burn them. Right? Because you're trying to go through the motions with no revelation. You're trying to have the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You're trying to have the form but not being breathed into. If you get breathed into, then your appetite changes. 21 days, make a habit. Do this, go to this class, go to that class. Listen, let him breathe in you. I'm not saying by any means that a habit is the easiest thing to break. We've all had habits before we got to break. Amen. By any means, I'm not saying that, but if you change your conditioning, I got you. If you change your condition, well, how often does he say to meditate the word? He didn't say to get my commandments. He said to keep them. And then he said, continue ye in my word. If you keep running the water, ain't nothing else got time to settle in. If you keep the water running, then give me a jar. You fill a jar up and you can put whatever you want in it. If you keep water running through it eventually, it might take a little while. Yeah. Depends on how dirty it is. Depends on how many years it's been packing that dirt in there. Depends on how long it's been in there. Did it get stiff? What's going on? But eventually that water softened it up. You ain't never seen nothing. You washing dishes and you got crust in the pan. What you do? Sit it in some soapy water. Why you soak it? Because you know if you don't soak it, you're going to be scraping. Come on, amen. Come on. Ain't think I knew nothing about washing dishes. Now, see, amen. Let's sit in there. Because then it makes it easy. Then when you go back, you just wipe it on off. But it need that water. And I sit in that water. And you soak in that water. And keep that water. Just keep that water running. Where the water at? Where the water at? Just keep that water running. There ain't no habit too hard. Is there anything too hard for God?
No.
Nothing. So there's no too hard for the word then. So if you keep that word running, see, I'll tell you, you're dealing with something in your life, you're dealing with something in your health. I'll tell you right now, if you're dealing with something in your health, you should be listening to nothing else but the word of God on health. Listen, if something comes up, listen, amen, nothing, we pray in the name of Jesus, nothing ever come up. But if something was to come up, because the enemy does attack, right? If something come up, you ain't got no time to be watching your favorite show no more, because your show ain't got your word. You condition. If you ain't got what you want in your pocket, your purse, your pocketbook, your bank account, if you ain't got it in there, you need to be conditioning. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. The fiery darts everywhere. You know the fiery darts are the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts. They're everywhere. That's why you need the whole armor of God. Yes. You really need, because you hold a shield up here, but they got some flying this way. Thank God for the helmet of salvation. They're coming from everywhere. You know, billboards, songs, movies, your people, your kinfolk, Lord. Yeah. Gee, that'd be the big darts. They'd be like, whoo. Right? They come from everywhere. They come from churches. He attacking from everywhere. He attacking through preachers. He attacking through all kind of stuff. You've had somebody attack you that you didn't think was going to attack you, then they attacked you. Just blindside you, right? Them darts coming from everywhere. You better keep running. You better keep running. You better keep bobbing and weaving. You better keep moving. Ain't no time to stand still now. Just what the word of God is about that. Just when you thought you knew him, he showed you something else about him. I love him, man. I love him. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Every time you think that you got the revelation that's going to change the world, he changed your world. How many times? Well, I thought I had some deep ones, boy. You know, like, watch, I'm about to hit him with this one. Boom, 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 boom. And then the apostle show up and hit me with another one. I'll be like, oh. I love it, though. The difference between I was telling, and this, I'm going to make this statement. It's not about me at all. This is about principles. Not about me at all. And I don't really feel no kind of way about it, but it just made me understand something that they dismissed the other class, let the other class get out early. And, you know, they let them go early. And I almost let y'all go early, but what I had to say was more important than the time that you was going to save to get to wherever you was going. It's the truth. Yeah, one student that stayed out of their class. One student. I don't need nobody to come listen to me preach. I would talk to myself all day. If I ain't had this class, I'd be preaching to myself in the room. But you're hungry. You're hungry. You ought to be asking, who else preaching right now? Anybody else preaching? You here already? I expect y'all to do the same thing. If I let y'all out and I say, I ain't got class now, I ain't going to be here. I expect y'all to be trying to bust down Leroy Jr. Doe and try to figure out what he's preaching about. I expect that. Because if you're hungry, you're hungry. That's the difference between apostle and other people. It's a difference. That'll be the difference between you and somebody else. Just being hungry. Just being hungry. Who got a word? Who teaching? You got another class going on? You came for school, didn't you? Just being hungry. You stay hungry. Listen, he wasn't lying. I always like to say that he was not lying. They did hunger and thirst. What's going to happen? They shall be filled. All you got to do is stay. You want to stay full? I like staying full. Right? I like my pockets full. I like when my stomach full. Y'all too, right? Right? I like it when everything in the fullness of joy, like the fullness of it, just stay hungry, stay thirsty. You'll always be filled. Like you'll never lack. Like you'll never lack. Just stay hungry, man. Stay hungry. The whole Bible.